Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 72, with Sarah Kornack and Beth Ann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we're talking with Tiffany Romero, who is the founder of the Sitz Girls. Tiffany is a wealth of knowledge on so many different topics. We learned so much from her and had a great time doing it. I know you're going to love this episode, so let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we're chatting with Tiffany Romero. Tiffany started the Sitz Girls, which stands for The Secret to Success is Support, in 2008 when she realized the need for a blogger-based community where bloggers could find their tribes and grow their audiences. Since then, the Sitz Girls brand has branched out into bloggy bootcamp conferences, and the Sitz Girls began working with the Sway Group in 2012. The Sway Group connects bloggers and brands together, and in 2014, they made that relationship official to become one company. At this point in time, there are 75,000 bloggers who are part of their community, and you can also find great advice on all things blogging at thesitzgirls.com. Welcome to the show, Tiffany.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Tiffany, can you tell us more about how you got started blogging and then how it came to be that you created the Sitz Girls?
So back in 2008, I was kind of turned on to mom blogging and had been reading blogs, and I decided that that was something that I'd be interested in. And I got my little Blogspot site and I started blogging, and I had like 4 visitors. And back then, there wasn't Twitter, and Facebook wasn't being used the way that it's being used now. And so everything was about comments. And I realized that even if I Googled mom blogger back in 2008, very few sites would come up. And I thought, okay, we need a place, a site that does nothing but highlight bloggers. And the best way to get those bloggers is to feature them, because everybody was trying to find a way to get the word out. And so within 4 months of blogging as a mom blogger, I created Sitz Girls.
That's amazing. I love how you just saw a need and you jumped right in as a new blogger and said, I'm going to do this. Can you talk to us a little bit more about how you went about creating this group of bloggers? What was the process like of building that community early on?
So I've always been a fan in business that if you really want to do it, you need to invest in yourself and do it right. And that means a professional design and being thoughtful about branding and a logo and putting in some time and effort to thinking about how this is going to work. And I realized that the site could carry itself and grow if we made the requirement of getting featured that you had to support the blogger that was featured before you. So when you signed up to be featured, you said, okay, I'm going to do this. And yes, I'm going to visit at least 2 or 3 blogs a week that are featured and leave a comment. So in the early days of Sitz, for the first year or two before Twitter and Facebook, which really changed things, most featured bloggers would see up to 200 to 300 comments on their blog from the other women that were visiting. The way that I got them in with the giveaway, like a really big giveaway, I decided as part of my initial investment in the business, and I have considered this a business from the beginning, is that the giveaway included a bounce house that like you could have at your house, and it was how to survive summer. I think we started Sitz like late June or early July. I need to look up the anniversary date. So the idea of a giveaway that was a bounce house and a digital camera and, you know, just all these fun things to keep your kids busy during the summer was really attractive. And that first day, 75 women signed up for Sitz. And then the word just spread through people, you know, leaving comments and putting the word out that not only could you get featured, but there was this great giveaway.
Okay, so the entering the giveaway, the requirement was to join in on this community?
Yes, you joined in on the community, and any blogger that was coming immediately signed up. There was nothing like it. Anytime that you were being featured, you submitted, and then you were judged and chosen based on your writing. with us, as long as there's no profanity and it's family friendly, it doesn't matter what the content is. If you've been supporting other women, you deserve to be featured.
That's really nice to develop such a nice community where everyone's supporting and helping and getting the word out about each other. Do you have any advice for a woman today who's maybe trying to build a community, maybe a different sort of community, even with Etsy sellers or other bloggers? What would you tell that woman?
The first thing I would tell her is to choose wisely. I feel like I see a lot of bloggers who want to just jump in as fast as they can and get as many page views and meet as many people and join as many Facebook groups as possible. And what I have found is starting off small and carefully with people that you feel are really aligned with, not even necessarily your blog topic, but just your perspective on life is really helpful. I really, and this is something I talk about a lot at boot camp, is just stay away from the drama and the negativity. If you don't own the space and the drama starts, I advise to leave it. If you own the space, I advise that you nicely ask that person to leave or just delete them. I feel like that's a really big problem with community right now, is there's some people that have a lot of free time. and that's the great thing about SITS. We have a private Facebook group that has about 5,000 members in it, and we approve every single post. So nothing gets in there that isn't supportive, and we delete comments. And, you know, people have said, oh, you're censoring your readers. And no, we're not censoring them. I'm keeping my space the way I want it. It's my space. And if you're not happy with it, you are welcome to go start your own space. But it protects the 5,000 people in there that are just looking for a place where they know that that doesn't have to happen. I love the idea of starting to find people that are where you want to be. I like to make all my decisions based on the person that I want to be in 5 years, because it makes the decisions really easy to make. And the people that I want to follow and have community with are people who are doing and behaving the way that I strive to be. I don't want to be the smartest chick in the room. That's not ever where I want to be. And so I'm constantly looking for people that are doing it better and being smart about it and are idea people and creative. And that has probably been one of the biggest keys to the success that I've seen, is the people that I've very carefully surrounded myself with.
That's a great point. And speaking of that, I know that now your company is very large and you have many people that work there. Can you offer any advice on how you found such talented women to be working with you, and, you know, just that process of interviewing and selecting the right people?
So I have another life. I run a summer camp in Los Angeles. That has actually what I've done since I graduated college. And I hire about 75, 20-somethings every year.
Oh, wow.
And that has given me a great skill set when it comes to hiring. So the first thing and the biggest mistake that I think people make is they don't decide what they want their culture to be. I don't go out and look for people that necessarily like understand blogging and are good at blogging. I'm looking for people that fit into the work environment that I want, which is solution-oriented, positive, upbeat, clear communication. Those things matter to me a lot more than the actual tasks, because tasks can be taught, but an overall attitude and personality matters to me more. I also find a lot of people feel, especially with women, we feel like we somehow don't want to go it alone, and so we'll go into business with friends or hire people because we're friends with them. And that often is not the right strategy. Friendship is difficult enough as women without adding a relationship of work and expectations to it. And I have found that I want to hire people that have the opposite skill set that I do. I've got my skill set covered, and what I'm looking for are people that can bring things to the table that I don't. And I love just sitting down with a piece of paper, and especially if you're a small business and you're just maybe looking for your first VA, virtual assistant, or you're hiring your first employee, I would write down on a piece of paper, I could do more of blank if I didn't have to do blank? And the first thing is what you should be putting your attention on, because it's probably what you're best at. And the second thing is what you need to be hiring for. And getting out and getting recommendations of other people is really important. And also, when you initially hire, set up just a 3-month period to make sure it's going to work. And then once that period is done, you can decide if you want to change the relationship, negotiate something different. But the initial 3 months is a great time to really find if it's a fit and the best ways to work together.
That is some really solid advice on hiring. I love your idea of creating that sentence to help you figure out what you really want to focus on and what you need to hire for. That's fantastic. Could you tell us more about the Sway Group now and how you go about connecting brands and bloggers with the Sway Group?
Sure. So Sway Group is basically an exclusive agency that represents some of the most well-known bloggers across multiple categories. So that's how it started, is Danielle Wiley started Sway and realized that there was a need for these celebrity rising star bloggers to have representation and someone to negotiate and find them work so they could just focus on developing great content. She and her partner at the time, Allison Talamantes, met with Fran and I, and in the idea of representing boot camp, that's how our relationship started at Blog Her in San Diego. And we quickly realized with their help that they could not only help with boot camp, but they could really help leverage and get work for these. At the time, we had about 40,000 bloggers in the database that we were just working with it as far as like one-off program here and there. And so we decided to do a joint venture and try it out, which is how Massive Sway came to be. And now we're a full-blown company. And the way it works is a brand or a client will come to us and say, I'm looking for 40 influencers in lifestyle to talk about and share key messaging about my product. And it needs to be one blog post and 4 tweets and a Facebook update, Pinterest. We'll kind of work with them to develop how the best way to use our social and digital influencers. And then from there, we put together a program and put it out to recruitment for the bloggers in our newsletter. So a blogger or an influencer that's interested in getting paid for brand opportunities comes to Massive Sway, signs up, and then when they get the newsletter, they look through it for programs that are a match. The great thing about Sway and why I think it's one of the smartest ways for influencers to be monetizing is that on our end, we're handling the part that you don't want to. So legal, quality assurance, putting together the post instructions, putting together the timelines. There's so much that goes into a really good digital campaign. And we, you know, having been bloggers, also have a really great insight. And we pay bloggers. That's kind of the bottom line for us, is it's sponsored content and it's paid for. And we've been able at this point, oh my gosh, we've probably paid thousands of bloggers over time. And I love that idea. I love that everybody wins. The brand gets great, authentic content. The digital influencer is compensated, and I get to have a business as well, matching the two up and seeing it come to fruition. My job is, I actually am the one that chooses the bloggers to be sent to the client for selection. And I love that I know them. I love that I've met a lot of them at boot camps, and I take such satisfaction in putting together the right puzzle pieces for the brand and delivering to the bloggers an opportunity to work.
That is a genius idea. and I know there are other groups out there that are doing that, but it sounds like you guys have figured out an excellent system. And like you said, you take all the work out of things for the blogger and the brand. So that's fabulous. And speaking of your merging with the Sway Group, can we talk a little bit more about that? I think you're the first business mom we've had on the podcast who started a company and then ended up merging with another company.
Sure. You know what? It's funny. It goes right back to knowing what your strengths are and finding people who fill in the areas that you're not strengths. I don't want to say weaknesses, but areas that you're just not as strong in. When Danielle and Allison started talking to us, you know, it became really clear, one, that these two women in particular had a skill set and experience set that Fran and I did not have, which was in public relations and marketing. They could speak the language. They had existing relationships. Danielle had worked at Edelman, and Allison is this amazing salesperson. And after talking to them, it just became clear that if I wanted to take my business to the next step, I had to get people like this involved. And it turned out that, you know, we were a fit as far as ethics and morals and how we wanted to be seen in the space and conduct ourselves. And so the first step was to do a joint venture, which is where there's an agreement between, you know, two entities that they are going to do this project essentially together, this venture, and that we each owned a certain amount of that venture. And she still operated Sway Roster, and we still operated Boot Camp independently. And after about a year, it just became clear that with hiring a staff and all the things that we were going to need to do to grow as a business, the best path forward was to create one business and for Sway to acquire Launched Productions, which was the company name of what Fran and I had begun. And so we started that conversation. And one thing about making a decision like that is, you know, you have to be able to have tough conversations. And if you can't have the tough conversations, then you're not going into business with the right people. And we were able to really sit down and talk about the direction of the company, you know, finances, expectations, all those things, and come to an agreement that all of us were really happy and comfortable with. And we just hit operating together for a year. And it's been remarkable. I mean, it's been a really wonderful group effort of four kind of scrappy women, you know, who put it all together and are figuring it out as we go.
We've mentioned this once or twice, but we haven't discussed it yet. The bloggy boot camps that you also do. Could you talk a little bit about these bloggy boot camps and how they got started?
So after we started SITS, it became clear that we, of course, had to meet each other all in person. So our first event was SITSCation. and it was in Las Vegas, and about 100 women came, and we just did a one-day event. And I just realized really quickly that, one, I really, really enjoy speaking, and that there's something about meeting and networking with other women who understand what you do that is motivating and inspiring and helps to kind of keep you on track. I can't recommend enough that whatever industry you're in, that you network and meet with other women that are in the same place, because they're such a source of inspiration and motivation and can really help you on your way. So we started traveling around the country with these one-day events, and it was just a no-brainer. It was a way for us to get together in person. And when it started, it was to share blogging tips, and it certainly still is. But I do think, because my focus has changed, the focus of boot camp has changed. And now there are two things that we really like to focus on. One is, what is happening in this industry of being a professional influencer? And I do mean professional. If you are deriving an income, you're a professional. What's next? What's happening? Where should you put your focus? And the other piece that we start to talk about a lot is balance, and that it actually doesn't exist, and how to best be present in your life so that you can be the things that you need to be to everybody that you need to be them to. And, you know, I started that conversation one day in St. Louis. I had put up a slide, and it was by Walt Disney, about a man neglecting his family. It was just, I know it doesn't sound inspirational, but it was. I'm not wording it right. And there were actually, you know, women in the room that started to get choked up. And it turned into this really intimate and wonderful conversation about how blogging came into our lives, and a lot of us just stopped sleeping or stopped engaging with our kids at the level that we want to, and putting off date night and being grumpy because we're so tired and not exercising and all these things. And so my friend Danielle Smith from Extraordinary Mommy and I put together this presentation that we now do, which is about powering down and taking care of yourself and how to work smarter, not harder, and giving women, literally giving women permission to walk away from the work when they need to, and that we will be there when they get back, and that it is so important, and that it is okay. So that for me has been really fulfilling on a personal level.
That's wonderful. And that's excellent advice, of course, for all of us who are trying to build a business or a blog. And so I'm curious on that note, what does a typical day look like for you being part of such a large company and community? How do you fit it all in?
This is such an interesting question, and my circumstances are really different than most people out there. I have a husband that works from home as well, and my son is 14. So I have a lot more free time to focus on my business than most people do. But my business partner, Fran, has three kids, you know, under nine, and a husband that works full time and travels. And one is, again, investing in yourself means investing in help. And I think from a personal perspective, you write out the same thing. If I didn't have to do laundry, I could do more work. You know, whatever it is, whatever those things are, I like to sit down and, you know, say, okay, and write out what has to happen in this house for people to be happy. And then decide, is that something I should do? Is that something I should ask for, you know, support on within my house? Is that something I should consider hiring out for? Because if I can hire out about $10 or $11 an hour and I can make $50 to $100 in that hour, that is a smart business decision. And for me, I want to spend my free time actually engaging with the people in my family. And so for me, you know, that's been a big plus. I can tell you that a lot of the women that I've spoken to who have tipped, I always call it like you work and work and work, and then you get to this point where you physically can't take on anymore, which means you can't grow any bigger or you can't make any more money. And that tipping point where you get to go to the next level and getting help from somewhere, and what does that help look like? And having a really candid conversation with your partner or spouse about what you need from them and setting office hours. It can revolutionize your life and take away a lot of the guilt. But when you set those office hours, you need to get your family to understand that, you know, from 10 to 2, mom is working. And if you need something, somebody else gets it for you. And at the same time, to understand that when your kids get home at 3 and you say, I'm not available from 3 to 5 because I help with homework, that you aren't checking your email and you're holding yourself to that standard.
I like that idea of distinguishing parts of your day for certain activities. I know when I stick to something like that, I feel much better with having those boundaries.
I think that you find you're actually much more productive because spending 8 hours a day half watching kids and half working is exhausting, and neither is getting your best. And so when you're not present doing 100%, you're not giving anything your best. So I would rather have 2 hours less with my family where I'm working 100% than 5 hours that are 50% effort to two different, totally polar opposite endeavors, goals. Where do I want to be in 5 years? What decisions do I have to make to get there? And part of my goal is, of course, to own a private island and retire. But the other goal is I have a strong relationship with my family and lasting memories. That is a totally appropriate end game, along with your business end game. And you need to be paying attention to both sides of it.
That's true. Sometimes it's easier to set those business end game goals and not realize you can set those personal end game goals as well. And if you neglect the personal side now, not cultivating that relationship with your children, it may be elusive and out of reach then by the time, you know, the business is done and you're trying to enjoy that those times later on.
So. Yeah, and being able to say no thank you. You know, I don't I don't have time to work at my son's school. And that's okay because I can help in other ways. If she needs stuff from Staples or the school needs some social media help, like those are places where I can be helpful. But I had talked about that at a boot camp and a woman wrote a blog post after she had gotten a note from the teacher saying, you need to send a food to school that starts with the letter X. And she said, I thought about it and I wrote back, no, thank you. I am unable to do that, but I have sent some apples that start with the letter A. Like, you know, to really stop, I feel like sometimes Pinterest pins us against each other to, you know, when I realized that I was staying up till midnight making the perfect Valentine's and I wasn't doing it with my son, that was a big wake-up call. Mm. And it's okay that the cookies are bought from the store. It's okay. And to really, you know, realize that whatever, if you're, my gifts are not cooking and my son is not going to necessarily have a mom that makes the best brownies, but he does have a mom that can help him with a business plan for his duct tape wallet business. And so to feel proud and realize that's okay, that offering that skill and showing my son that, you know, I can work and be home and be happy and have, you know, I do miss a baseball game for work sometimes, but when I'm at the game, I don't have my cell phone. So there's that distinction, right? When I'm there, I'm 100% there.
That's very good. Yeah. I love that perspective.
I was curious though, earlier in the podcast, we mentioned about how growing a blog was very different back in 2008 when you started. So now that we're here in 2015, what are some of the ways that you and your partners are growing the SITS group and Sway?
So I think that I'd like to answer that question in two parts. The first is for people that are considering growing a blog, the best piece of advice I can give you as someone that chooses and selects the blogs that are going to get passed on to the client is begin with a professional design. If driving an income is an end game of creating a blog, start with a professional design. Look at the blogs that are getting the work or email someone like me and say, can you give me a couple examples of blogs you work with regularly and what they look like and what sets them apart? Because when a client is selecting your blog, 9 times out of 10, it's a 30-second look. And that store window that they're going to put their products in, your blog, needs to be clean and look professional and pretty. So that's one of my biggest recommendations. The other is to write a post once a week that is geared towards Pinterest, meaning you're using photographs, they're edited well, they have text on them. There's at least one that is situated vertically because that's best for Pinterest. And it's a recipe or a how-to or, you know, something that's interesting to you. And then the other post that I recommend people think about writing is one that is written for the purposes of SEO. So a post where you're using search engine optimization and keywords as part of your writing and that you're sharing, you know, everything in Google+ and across your platforms and really learning the ins and outs of Pinterest and SEO. And then maybe once a month writing a post that is what I like to call a pain point. So posts that tend to go viral on Facebook are things like 10 things that every parent of a child athlete needs to know. People are going to read that who aren't bloggers. That is something that most parents of children, you know, 7 and up can identify with. And it will touch a pain point with them. You know, 5 things from the 1970s that, you know, that tell you you were a child in the 1970s. Things like that seem to be really viral when it comes to Pinterest. I just shared a post on my Facebook page that was written in 2012 because it's still funny. And that person is getting, you know, traffic from it. As far as growing Sway Group and SITS Girls, it's always been the same thing. Just one, sticking to the core values and the culture of what we want the site to be, supportive, transparent, always considering the blogger. And then on the business side of it, what's next in the industry? You know, really understanding Pinterest, understanding Instagram, seeing ways in which, you know, we can share content and get the most for our client out of it. But it's having those conversations and being willing to change and being willing to evolve with what's coming next and not getting so caught up in the small stuff, you know, always having that bigger picture in mind. And if you're not a big picture thinker, I really recommend pairing up with someone that is, because you need each other. I'm a big picture thinker and I need a detailed person. And Fran, who's been my partner for years, is a detailed person and she loves when I think big. So really finding that kind of yin to your yang is one of the best ways to continue to grow.
You were talking about anticipating what's coming next, especially for a large company like yours. That sounds so overwhelming to me to try and anticipate the next big thing or learn the newest strategies or the newest social media outlets. How do you guys kind of decide what's worthy of your attention on things that are coming up?
No, I think it goes back to what I said earlier about not being the smartest girl in the room. So, you know, following a couple publications that talk about what's happening in your industry. And so that when you see it come by on Twitter or you see it on Facebook, you can give it a read and see if it's a fit or at least have it on your radar. You know, I think it's interesting. I think that the next social media platform to really hit is going to have to be really interesting, because I think that people feel like their hands are full right now. You know, you have Instagram, you have Pinterest, you have Facebook, you have Twitter, you have Google Plus, and adding another one, it's going to have to be something that is really cool. So I know it'll be there. I'm just excited to see what that is. But it's just, you know, I love to read Fast Company. I love, you know, checking out Mashable and, you know, other, you know, Adweek, just really reading and staying on top of what's going on. Our industry, my industry, it kind of straddles three or four different big industries, right? We have advertising and marketing, we have technology, we have influencers and social media. So, you know, really trying to just listen and make notes in your head or jot something down and then check it out. But we're certainly not the type that just goes running off to the next thing, you know, thinking that we're done with Instagram and now we're moving to this. What's interesting is there's us in this blogger influencer industry. And then there's the general public, right? So we found Pinterest, and then 2 years later, my friends are like, oh my gosh, have you seen Pinterest? And I'm like, yeah, actually, could you get off it? Because you're ruining it with your spammy pins. So I think that just being aware and listening and staying in the conversation is the best way to kind of have your you know, antenna up for what's next.
That's great advice, and you gave three great sources right there. I'm now making a note that obviously I've, you know, heard of all of those, but now I'm making a note that I need to be on those sites more often, checking for the biggest news. I'm definitely the big picture girl out of the two of us, so I need to add that to my list.
I mean, it's so great that you know that. You know, I think that one of the biggest things that I realized when I was starting to look for a partner and hiring people is that I needed someone who did not want to be a blogging celebrity in their own right. And that person is their own business, right? I mean, mm-hmm. if that's what they really want to be and what they really want to do, that is always going to take precedence over the business. And so, you know, being really thoughtful and aware of that, when a friend and said, would you be willing to give up your blog to do this? I mean, she didn't hesitate. It was yes. And it wasn't a requirement. It was really just a question. Like, if we get to the point where your blogging isn't really something you can do regularly, is that okay? And it was. And for us, that's really been a key. You know, neither of us was looking to be the next blogging superstar.
Well, I'm so glad that you didn't go that route, because your the Sitz Girls and everything that your company is now is very great. So do you have any favorite online tools or apps, programs, things like that, that help you to stay on top of things or be more productive?
You know, we, as an internal tool, we use something called Podio, which allows us to manage our projects. It's a project management tool, and it's worked really well for us. You need somebody who is crazy organized and detail-oriented and loves that kind of stuff to set it up. But once it's set up, it works really well, and we're all able to discuss tasks without email strings, which is amazing. So for us, that has been probably, you know, one of the biggest helps when it comes to internal. With my family, a Google Calendar that you can share with the people that you need to help run your life. We use one internally for Sway Group, but I also use one at home. And even with, you know, other people that help make my life run, just so that there's no surprises. Every time I go out of town, my husband's surprised. And so this way I can at least go, but I put it in the calendar. You know, and I actually, I'm one of those people that will actually forget to pick my kid up if I don't set a reminder. And so on my iPhone, I use an app called Alarmed that I just stick in what I need, a beep. And then I actually have it set so that it goes off every minute until I do it. Because I will definitely get lost in the work that I'm doing.
Well, good thing your son's 13.
I know, right? So if you are late a couple of he can figure it out.
Yes. What about favorite books on business? Do you have any of those?
I'm actually an avid reader, and I don't read a ton of books on business. But there is a book that I would recommend that is really – people that I trust recommended it to me, and that means a lot to me, which is Platform. Hmm. I think it's by Michael Hyatt.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's about how you use the platforms that are out there and how to build them. And some of the most successful people I know on Facebook have used that book as kind of a guide, and so I would really recommend that. Another book that I recommend when you're working with other people is doing a Strengths Finder. Everybody in your work group reads a short book and then fills out a survey online, and it is incredible what it spits back out and tells you what your five strengths are and what the strengths of those strengths are and what the setbacks of those strengths are, things to watch for, and how to work with someone of those strengths. So, for example, like my partner, Fran, she needs to check a list off to feel productive. I do not know what that feels like. I can go to bed with a sink full of dirty dishes and a messy desk, and it does not faze me. And so being able to know how to, not feeling guilty anymore that she's awake checking things off the list and I'm asleep because that's what she wants to be doing. Mm-hmm. But being able to like compliment her or give her feedback in a way that's actually meaningful to her. So that is a great book. This is, you know, just from a totally another point, but from a relationship perspective, the 5 love languages.
Yes.
That book, I mean, if nothing else, it will tell you about yourself in mm-hmm. relationships. I've also just recently read The Version for Raising Teens.
Oh.
And I don't, you know, obviously like work for them or anything, but I feel like that book, it really gets in to who you are and helps you understand why you are the way you are in your relationship and how you might better be a better partner or spouse when you realize that your husband has a completely different love language than you.
Definitely. I loved that book, The 5 Love Languages, and it was pretty eye-opening. I didn't realize what my love language was before that point. And so, yeah, it's definitely helped my husband and I to better love each other.
Yeah,
just, you know,
better
support.
Connect.
Yeah,
and
communicate.
And just, mm-hmm. Yeah, have a better, you know, appreciation for the other person's what their feelings are about certain things, you know. I mean, if me doing the dishes makes somebody feel loved, that's pretty easy.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's true. And then, yeah, and conversely, maybe you're doing the dishes thinking that
exactly.
other person is really going to appreciate it,
exactly.
but they don't notice it all and they really don't care about that. Yeah. So
that would be at my house. That is exactly right. He is acts of service and I am physical attention.
Hmm.
And those two things are completely opposite.
Right.
As we wrap up, Tiffany, we have learned a lot from you. I'm so glad we got the chance to talk. Do you have a fun mom moment that you could share with our listeners?
Gosh, I have so many because it's been 14 years, but I thought just with an audience of working moms could probably understand that I recently found a paper that he had to write on Tell Us What Your Parents Do. And one, him trying to explain what I do was funny in and of itself. But one of the lines in the paper was that I must be really focused when I'm working because I don't respond when he's talking to me. So I thought that that was just funny. And I went to him after and I said, so, you know, I have always been like that my whole life. If I'm reading or doing something, I zone out to the rest of the world. But, you know, when he went to talk about his dad, it was like, oh, my dad makes me breakfast and takes me to school and takes me to baseball. And I said, well, why didn't you write that we like swim together and we play, you know, cards? And he said, oh, mom, she only asks what you do. I was like, okay, well, I'll work on that, son.
Oh, kids.
Yeah, their view of the world and life within the family, it's pretty funny.
It is. It's fascinating.
My husband is always reminding me. He's like, Beth Ann, Holden doesn't realize right now how amazing you are. But someday when he's
Oh, Beth Ann, I'll tell you that someday is far off.
Yeah, I think maybe when he's 30. Like
I've heard around 25 to 30 for boys is when they kind of come back.
Oh, that's a long time.
It is a long, but you get those little moments that make it all worth it, you know?
Yeah. Definitely.
Right now, it's pretty great. Sullivan always tells me he just thinks I'm the most beautiful woman in the world right now since he's four. So this is a fun moment in time
When my son was 10, I videotaped him signing a contract that he would, like, always want to snuggle me and would talk to me every day. And now that he's 14, I mean, it is like, oh, mom, come on. Like, I'll just go to, like, rub his head. Mom. Oh my God, my baby, where did you go? What's happening? Why is your voice deeper? Why are you 6'1"? What's going on?
Wow.
6'1".
I know.
Wow.
I know. Trying to scold a child while you're looking up at them is a whole new experience.
Oh boy.
Oh my goodness, I can't imagine.
Well, thank you again, Tiffany. This was so much fun. And can you tell our listeners one more time, where's the best place they can find you?
So for me to engage in conversation, which I love to do, on Twitter, I'm Tiffany R-O-M, so T-I-F-F-A-N-Y-R-O-M. And then I'm also on Facebook, and The Sits Girls is thesitsgirls.com. And there you can find everything from blogging tips to recipes and how to enroll in Massive Sway. One of the big pictures will say earn. Just click on that. It'll tell you all about how you get yourself into Massive Sway. And we're looking for all kinds of influencers. We work with people who do, you know, just Pinterest, just Facebook, or blogs in general. And we have, you know, a ton of opportunities.
Great. Thank you so much.
Wasn't that fun? If you're looking for the show notes, just head on over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/72, and you'll find our fantastic show notes and links to anything that Tiffany mentioned in the episode. I hope you're having a wonderful day. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.